Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. A good question has emerged in a DM on Discord. Someone on the server was asking, JF, if it sounds really crude and coomerish, but let's say a woman is well endowed with breasts and she has a son. If that son has a daughter, is there a chance that gene will be passed on? That is an interesting question. It's a question about, do we pass on the genes for beauty of females through the male line and vice versa? And the answer is yes, probably most genes. There is an exception, which is if you had a gene that is solely recessive and solely on the X chromosome, it could be a gene of specific female beauty that only passes through females. But even then, half of it would come from the male. It's just, I mean, so there's really not much patterns through which the genes for female beauty would be restrictively passed on by females. And so whether you are a male or a female, you carry all of the genetics for all of the features of your descendants, whether they are male and female or female. The only thing that differs if you have a child of the opposite sex is one of the 23 chromosomes, and it is really just a switch. And even if there was some content on the X chromosome, for example, because the X chromosome is the larger one of the sex chromosomes, a male would carry still half of it. So the general answer is the male and female features are switches. They are genes that express themselves differently in different bodies, but the genes are there still and you pass them on. That is why I don't know if there's research on this, honestly, but my personal observations is that beautiful men give birth to more beautiful women, more beautiful girls. I think there is a correlation from just my own observation. Ugly children come from ugly parents, and it crosses the sex barrier there. There is a lot of speculation about the shooter. I made a joke on Twitter, and people are taking me seriously. Like, this guy is accusing me of being a special kind of stupid. So they found a social media account. I wouldn't say that it's certain that it was from this shooter in Texas. It could be a troll, could be someone faking something, it could be, but it could also be the shooter's real social media account, apparently on a Russian website. And what do we have? Pictures of a guy with Nazi tattoos. He would have taken a picture of his own protection vest, which he would have used in the shooting. He would have taken a picture of the mall, as well as personal notes as when the mall was the most, when there were the most people at the mall where he committed the shooting. And he would have retweeted or reposted on this website, Psycho Vision 5, a little logo of Hitler, and a... He was a Tim Pool audience member reposting a Tim Pool show. And so someone had said, wow, the Allen, Texas mass shooter's profile on a Russian social media site has been found. He posted a photo of Nazi tattoos and reconnaissance photos of the outlet mall weeks prior. He also posted the right-wing YouTuber Tim Pool. And I found this a little bizarre, right-wing YouTuber Tim Pool. And so I made a summary of the situation to laugh. It wasn't serious, but a lot of people are insulting me because they think I'm some kind of leftist who's truly calling Tim Pool a right-winger. So I said, the right-wing YouTuber Tim Pool has inspired a Mexican white supremacist to commit this atrocity, which he announced he would commit on a Russian website. That's a summary of the situation. If you want to take the leftist discourse around this shooting, listen, it's possible that we have here basically a psychiatric patient. CNN reveals that his last post on the social media website would be this. Even if I did go to a psychologist, they're not going to be able to fix with whatever's wrong with me. Besides, that shit is expensive. So there you go. This guy knew he had a mental problem, and he knew that there would be no fix through the psychiatric route or psychological route because he felt like they couldn't fix it. He felt like it was not fixable. And it was too costly anyway, and he didn't have the money. So he went and did a shooting. That would be the hypothesis if those sentences are truly from him and if it is confirmed that it was truly his social media account. What do I believe of it? For now, I'm 50-50 about whether it's true. I entertain doubt about the genuineness of his adherence to right-wing beliefs. Sometimes you have thugs out there. They go out there and they start associating with any violent, anything that they can perceive as violent because they see themselves as thugs through these ideologies. But I don't know if he had true right-wing thinking at his heart, in his heart. Sometimes you can have a mental patient who gets attracted to right-wing speech, but first, I don't consider Tim Pool right-wing. So that would be the first. He was kind of a normie right-winger, if he was a right-winger at all. Second, the whole picture with his right-wing Death Squad logo, RWDS on his vest. It's not because you identify with the right-wing Death Squad that you have a truly right-wing mentality. And third, posting tattoos of Nazis. I don't know. Was he truly tweeting them in terms of first degree supporting them? Or was it more just a edgy, provocative thing that he wanted to do? Perhaps he just had a mind for edginess, for provocation, and he perhaps didn't adhere at all to Nazi beliefs. In any ways, the Nazis aren't right-wing, but that's a separate debate. But if you have a belief in socialism, you are not right-wing. John Drake says, this guy's tattoo would be too meaty for the commies not to let it leak. Well, it's not even the guy's tattoo. It is a picture that was posted on his social media account of another guy with such tattoos. Was it of admiration or was it of being stunned by it? I have no idea. I've figured out the equation behind Alex Stein. So I figured this out. I did all of the math. It is complex math. It involves integrals and derivatives. But I was listening to his recent video here. Florida Bitches. Prime time, 99. Grind and shine. Florida on my mind. One more time, I'm Alex Stein. Florida Bitches always talking shit. Florida bitches always on a cruise ship. Florida bitches blow it out of proportion. Florida bitches TikTok their abortion. Florida bitches always smoke a cigarette. Florida bitches date a guy with a Corvette. Florida bitches are the worst. Florida bitches will put you in a hearse. Florida bitches cause a... So, I'm so confused. I debated this guy. And in our debate, he is at the Blaze TV, okay? This guy is a conservative talker at Blaze TV. But when I debated him on Modern Day Debate, he decided to take the position that the police was racist. They were totally anti-black, and I just didn't know about the reality of the thing on the ground. People will remember that that was his argument. I just don't know. You know, Jeff is stuck with his statistics. He said things like this. I'm stuck in a world of statistics, whereas he knows what's happening for real on the ground. Now, okay, that's not very conservative as a belief, but okay, I thought maybe he's wrong. Maybe he's confused a little bit on this particular point, but otherwise he's a conservative. But now he makes rap songs about Florida bitches, sexualizing females on the video while they twerk. And so I figured out what this guy is about. It's a Venn diagram that solves the thing. You have the leftist parody of conservatism. You have the conservative parody of leftism. You have white rapper wannabeism. And at the intersection of these three circles, you have Alex Stein. This guy is weird, and I don't trust him as an ideological guide of any kind because I don't think he's honest. I think I question where he comes from a background perspective. He seems to be doing a form of the troll gatekeeper Jew that I've seen elsewhere, but not as flamboyant as he does it. But Speaker's Corner says, are you sure he wasn't trolling you, JF? The thing with these guys, they are always in the space of trolling and not being clear and always being able to escape their own argument by, oh, well, it was just a troll. Oh, well, I was just doing a rap video for a troll. But this kind of unclear boundary between reality and trolling is not healthy in Alex Stein's case because there isn't a very fundamental pillar that he can stand for. Speaker's Corner says, how long ago was this debate with him? It must have been about a year ago. It's just, you know, he cannot even stand for a single conservative ID without clowning, without being flamboyant about it. Alex Stein probably would have fit better as a trans individual. You know how the trans people, when they convert from male to female, they become all flamboyant. I think there's a trans person waiting to be awakened inside Alex Stein. A very bizarre individual. So there's been wars in the community notes, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. This should give you a measure of the importance of what Elon Musk did. Elon Musk changed the world from a world in which we had to defend that the statistics are even accurate, that there is increased criminality across racial groups. And a few months after Elon's magic touch, we are now in a debate at the community notes about whether the proper number is 1350 or 1360. We now have people tweeting the meme that, hey, if you actually do the calculation and you exclude the unknown races, because there are some crimes where you never get to know who committed it and you never get to know the crime of the perpetrator, the race of the perpetrator. If you do account for this properly, like they do normally in a survey, when you have a don't know or don't want to answer, you exclude them from the data set. Turns out that the whole 1350 meme emerges from not properly excluding this part of the dataset, not excluding the unknown race perpetrator. Therefore, the 1350 meme, the idea that certain groups in America are represented at 13% and they commit 50% of the crime, is actually an understatement. And the true calculation leads to 1350. Spindly Opinion says it's 60% of the known, exactly. Now, there is a war on community notes, and the community note that is here is wrong in my view. I've commented on it, but it all starts from IO, which his tweet was replied to by Elon Musk, and he said, "Conservatives need to stop using the 1350 meme. It's statistically inaccurate. Yes, it's true that blacks are 13% of the population, but they don't commit 51% of the murders in the US anymore. They commit 60.4% of them." And he showed his numbers. And you see the community note just disappeared right live right in front of us. It's appearing and it's disappearing for me. So I think it may be at the border of being voted against, voted for, and it disappears and it shows up. So he made the calculations and he has shown that, yeah, you have to exclude this category, unknown, because within the unknown, there must be black people, there must be white people, there must be Indians. And if you don't exclude that category, it's equivalent to saying, well, all of these people in unknown are white. That's what you're doing. Or they are some other race than black. And you don't want to do this in statistics. So the community note came out. And here I tried to reawaken it by clicking on precedent page on my browser. And there it is showing again. Math is wrong. Subtracting unknown from total, which only includes offenders where race is known, makes no sense and makes the result much larger. Correct calculation is, and they claim that the correct calculation leads to 52.6%, which would be this number here. But this number here is based with an inclusion of the unknown in the total count. The true process that you have to do is you have to subtract the unknown, like they've done here. 14,900 minus 1,900 leads you to 13,000. And then you can have the share of known. But the community notes is absolutely wrong about this. So I tweeted that at Elon Musk. The community notes here is wrong and needs to be voted down. Elon Musk, the question is, when the race of the perpetrator is unknown, should the event count in the denominator? It's pretty standard in surveys that when someone answers don't know, don't want to respond, they are discounted from the denominator so as not to create a misleadingly small percentage representation. Imagine 50% of the murder cases ended up with race unknown because, say, investigators would be unwilling to report the race. If you use the method proposed by community notes, you would end up with 25% murders committed by blacks. But that would be a misleadingly small number, not representative of reality, but rather representative of investigators' inability or unwillingness to report race. The default statistical assumption is that unknown isn't a biased category, and that it can be discounted from the denominator. New guy says, Matt is racist, JF. Oh, well, if you're at that level of argument, you need a special community note for yourself. John Drake says, the 13% is a bad number altogether when 3% of that is responsible for most of the 60%. Yes, that is the next pill after you've taken the race pill. Eventually, you converge toward the age pill. Are you aged pill yet? So anyways, it shows that community notes will not be perfect. And here, they've been misled in the background, in the community notes section of Twitter. They've been misled because it looks okay. It's like, oh, someone comes up and has done better math. I will vote for it. And the leftists are happy to create dissent here, I guess. But I would still say that the situation we are in is beautiful. The fact that we are now engaged in a fight, in an intellectual fight for whether it's 1350 or 1360, the detail of whether it's 50 or 60 really doesn't matter. what's beautiful is we got an official approval, basically, that this is the truth. The truth is somewhere between 50 and 60, but it's not 13, and it's not 20, and it's not 30. So an absolute victory of truth on the public space here, truths about races. Meanwhile, we have someone else spreading disinformation about race, Brian Krasenstein. Well, every time I say his name, I'm like, ugh. He says, I see graphs related to which race commits gun violence against the other races more or less, I think we need to point out a few things. All of the following is true. We should stop getting angry at people for posting data and instead get angry at why nothing is being done to correct the problem that the data represents. 2. One's race has absolutely nothing to do with their likelihood to shoot or kill another person. Skin pigment and DNA do not make people shoot each other. 3. It is true that Black Americans have been involved in more gun crimes than white Americans. 3. Since the above statements are true, then only the following questions should be asked. What environmental differences in society caused this to take place? Possible answers: poverty, a systemic problem of inequality, education, access to resources, culture that develops among underprivileged communities. So when people try to point out the racial differences with gun violence, when race does not determine one's inherent tendency towards criminal behavior, they are basically recognizing that there are systemic problems. What a load of shit that I will debunk in 15 seconds from now. But I need to go take my allergy pills because my nose is starting to block. I'll be back. All right. JF and his pills. Yes, it's hard to speak in a mic for a whole hour if you have allergy problems. That's where the allergies hit the most. So we have a super chat by Archie. He says, the unknown are too smart to get caught and hence they are Chinese. That is an interesting hypothesis, actually, that if the system is racist, let's take the basal assumption of the left. The police is racist. They spend their days just wanting to catch a Black person for a crime they didn't commit. If that is the case, the unknown category, the unknown category would have a bias for all the other races but the Blacks, because the unknown category very often will be because they haven't caught the perpetrator. If they haven't caught the perpetrator, it's probably because it would include all of the perpetrator that they didn't catch because they didn't have the right bigotry, right? They would catch more of the Blacks if they are anti-Blacks, but they wouldn't catch the Asians. They wouldn't catch the white because there's a racial deal between the white police and the white perpetrators we're not going to intervene. So if the police is as racist as the left wants them to be, you would expect the unknown category to have much more non-blacks. Continuing with my, so starting with my debunk of Brian Krasenstein, so I read the whole tweet. I identify a straw man and other fallacies by Krasenstein. First, this whole conception, the general theme of the tweet is that socioeconomic factors somehow must be the cause of the difference in racial criminality in the U.S. That is an assumption that is not defended by Krasenstein at all, and it is contradicted by everything we know from the literature. If you want a complete review, perhaps the best review is The Bell Curve, basically going through the whole literature on the subject. Again and again, we've attempted to find this mysterious environmental causal influence. We've literally taken black children and put them in white families to figure it out. And none of this works. You cannot just take someone from a demographics of the U.S. and give them the advantages of the other demographics through environmental transfer. It just doesn't happen. The environmental transfer can help a child reach his IQ quicker, but it's only a portion of the gap, and it's never closing the gap. And in fact, eventually you realize that at adult age, they converge still toward their genetically determined IQ and genetically determined behavior, including criminality. I quote this study in my reply to Krasenstein, a twin study of self-reported criminal behavior. Genetic factors, but not the common environment, significantly influence whether subjects were ever arrested after age 15, whether subjects were arrested more than once after age 15, and later criminal behavior. The only thing that they detected that the environment would impact is whether they had early criminal behavior in childhood. So same thing as the IQ. The non-genetic factors, they influence children a lot, but they don't matter for later life behavior. And that makes total sense. A child cannot know how to commit a crime unless he's in a bad environment that will push him toward violence. So children are more like sponges of the environment around them. Makes total sense. That's the job of a child. That's the only way they will survive. It's by integrating what's around them, following their parents, following their models, and doing like them through imitation. But when you converge toward your adult behavior, it's more and more genetically determined as you grow, to the point where we don't even detect. In this study, on 3,200 male twin pairs, we don't even detect an effect of the environment. And yet we detect the effect of genetic factors. Archie says, Jeff, you lie. I saw Trading Places. What is Trading Places? Some kind of reality show exchanging race? Okay. Lendalt says, Jeff, are you familiar with a medical substance called xylometazoline, sold perhaps under the name Olint or Otriven, specifically in Canada? Maybe you will look into it. Might be best for clearing your nose, but comes with some possible side effects. I don't think I've ever seen that substance. I've tried pretty much everything that you can buy at Walmart. Nasal congestion. Use is not recommended for more than 7 days. Yeah, all of these things, they tend to be very temporary. So I've never found truly a stable solution. I always have to rotate between the various nose medications. I mean, it's okay. It's not dramatic. So, my response to Krasenstein when he says one's race has absolutely nothing to do with their likelihood to shoot or kill another person. Skin pigment and DNA do not make people shoot each other. This is just absolutely false. First, there's a strawman, and then second, there's a false statement. Strawman and false premise. Strawman on the claim that it is skin pigment because it is no one's position. It is not the position of people like me and people in my circles that if you go get tanned, you're going to become more violent. It's not about the skin pigment. Additionally, false premise on the statement about DNA, because DNA indeed causes everything that humans do, including violence. Furthermore, DNA differences account for differences in criminal tendencies. See the twin studies on the links between genetics and violence. For instance, this one, which I quoted earlier, this one is pretty convincing that, yes, it is genetic factors that lead to more likelihood of criminality. Then he says, then only the following question should be asked. What environmental differences in society causes this to take place? That is based on his false premise. So if you start on the false premise that it can only be the environment, then it's easy to say, well, since it can only be the environment, we must ask, what is the environment that is causing this? Well, that is a false conclusion based on a false premise in number one. The question is not limited to environmental influences, but rather is one of demographics and genetics. He goes on and says, possible answers, poverty, systemic problem of inequality, education, access to resources, culture that develops among underprivileged communities. By the way, as someone pointed out earlier on the regular chat, basically what you would call normally socioeconomic status. And we have controlled for all of these variables. And you have to read the bell curve if you want to see the studies. They have tried everything from controlling statistically to studying exceptional people from both races to see at equal level of SES. Is there still a gap? Yes, there's still a gap. They even tried changing families by adopting black children into white families. Even this will not change the correlations between race and IQ. And I wouldn't be surprised, race and criminality, given studies like this one. Adoption of leftist favorite conclusions, number three. So that is an adoption of leftist favorite conclusion based on false premise number one. But if it is true that genes cause criminal behavior, as is suggested by all studies that have looked into it, then these are not the only things you should look at. You should also look at demographic composition of your society. Then he ends up with, so when people try to point to the racial differences with gun violence, when race does not determine one's inherent tendency towards criminal behavior, they are basically recognizing that there are systemic problems. No, we are not. Only through the mirror of your delusions and lies and false premise that you've done at the beginning, can you state this? We have not abandoned the ground that it could be other thing than social economic situation. In fact, we believe it is other things, and the data points toward genetics being at play. So I said, no, you believe this because you want to, and are using a stack of falsehoods and obfuscation of the scientific literature to justify that belief. Krasenstein is really a terrible person for the left. I don't know what they're thinking of using him as an outlet on Twitter, but he looks terrible since the right wing is free to speak on Twitter. And every day almost, I see a post that I know will be filled with wrongness, with errors and fallacies, and every day I am not disappointed. So there's been so much discussion around the Allen, Texas mall shooting. First, they have discovered that he had a brief 3-month stint in the U.S. Army. Dallas mall shooting suspect Mauricio Garcia was terminated from the U.S. Army after 3 months. He was not awarded a military occupational specialty. He had no deployments or awards. We do not provide characterization of discharge for any soldier. However, it is rumored that he was let go because of suspicions of mental problem. An official also told Fox News that Garcia was separated under the 2005 edition of Army Regulation, other designated physical or mental conditions. So there were concerns around his mental health, and that is why he didn't make it in the Army. And again, that's why I don't see necessarily someone who has Nazi graphics on his social media as necessarily Nazi. This guy was probably attracted to violence. He probably perceived, hey, I can do violence in the Army. Well, they kick you out because you're crazy. Now he's attracted to neo-Nazism. You know, sometimes people pursue paths that they think. They think it's hot to be this. They think it's violence there. And they're not really into it. George says, yo, JF. Yo, George. If you would like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. Alternatively, you can also use Entropy. The link to Entropy is in the description below. So I said about this shooter, perhaps there's an opportunity here to form a union between the left and the right. Between the right, you know, Tim Pool, and the left, Hassan Piker. I said, hear me out. So there's a lot of Mexican neo-Nazi right-wing extremists, and they're making it to the United States through the southern border by disguising themselves as normal, legitimate, illegal migrants. We have to change our policy to stop this neo-Nazism. I think we could sell the idea of border restrictions to the left with this. You know, border restrictions, just so we can make sure that the people entering the U.S. are legitimate illegal migrants. Lendahl says, legitimate illegal migrants, lol. That is the hidden troll there. That I found quite funny when I came up with it. I said, the left is going to love this one. Twisted Sisters Dee Snider dropped by San Fran Pride for speaking against gender-affirming care. So, we're not going to take it. Holy shit. Is this an ugly smile there? Whew. So those are the people who were singing, we're not gonna take it, I believe. And Dee Snider has been out there, you know, as someone who's very early dressed as females, back in the 80s, I guess, as part of their video clip. He's kind of a dinosaur in the modern world of trans ideology. Because, I mean, he wasn't trying to look like a female in the same way the modern trans is. The modern trans is truly a transhumanist in many ways. They are truly trying to achieve the perfect female form as close as they can. And look at Blair White, if you want to know what they aspire to. Of course, that's what they aspire to. Most of them will absolutely fail. But this was a different. It was a different way of cross-dressing that was truly presented back then as fun, and it was equally artful when you know what it leads to. But these people think differently than the modern trans ideologist. And this guy was canceled from the San Fran Pride Parade for saying what? Guess? For saying that, yeah, you know, I think that it's fine that we accept everyone and we cross-dress and we gender change all we want as adults. But I think we shouldn't push sex changes on children. With many children who have no real sense of sexuality or sexual experiences caught up in the fun of using pronouns and saying what they identify as, some adults mistakenly confuse teaching acceptance with normalizing and encouraging a situation that has been a struggle for those truly affected and have turned it into a sad and dangerous fad. Wow, those are kind of wise words from a guy who once dressed like this. It seems that this guy understands a part of the problem here, that young people are being pushed into ideological stuff. They are not equipped to figure out what is my attraction to this based on social pressure, based on false rewarding experiences with the way my mother talks to me when I do these things. All of this is very dangerous, and yes, it's a dangerous fad. I can't believe, though, that he gets canceled for this. At this point, it's a taboo in LGBT activism. You cannot even be of the opinion that children should be left alone. Karl Marx word says, I will not use this word. I will delete it. You cannot chat these things here. RFK Jr., the CIA definitely was involved in the murder of JFK. It's not something that comes as news to us, but it's exceptional to have a presidential candidate say it so clearly. Once again, displaying that he is not afraid to go on the offensive against the deep state, presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. stated this past weekend that he believes the CIA was involved in the murder of his uncle and has presided over a 60-year cover-up. They were definitely involved in the murder. They're still not releasing the papers that legally they have to release. For anybody who has doubt about that, yeah, I mean, I don't have doubts. I think that they've already released a part of the papers, and it was pretty convincing, the story of Ryan Dawson around this, that it was, in fact, a coup, basically, of the deep state. History with Antia says ADL dunking pretty heavily on RFK Jr. Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking, you know, and I agree with him. I think it's pretty base to have someone so anti-deep state right there at the heart of the Democrat Party. But I don't know what he's thinking. You're not going to get elected. So is he there to educate the public? Is he there to attract attention? I don't know. But I don't think... I think there's too much corruption in the Democrat Party. They wouldn't let this happen. We've seen how they were willing to play unfair games in the debate organizing and the debate preparation of Hillary Clinton. You're not going to take over the Democrat Party with such an anti-institutional stance. So I hope that he knows that and that he has a plan to make this a positive experience for America, even if he doesn't win. Go away, says Jeff. What are your thoughts on Dawson going on Fresh and Fit? Is Israeli involvement in 9/11 going mainstream? Well, did he go yet or is he going later? I haven't heard about this, so I didn't know. I think it's great. Ryan Dawson is a great thinker, and I want him to have as much reach and as much coverage as possible. He's a man that I highly respect. Kovi Killer Clown says, JF, DeSantis picks RFK, stranger things have happened. We're in the upside anyway. Landslide. Yeah, your statement is so confused and unpunctuated that I don't even understand what you may mean. Okay, so Ryan Dawson would have been already on the Fresh and Fit podcast. Okay, well, I'll look at the episode. Apparently, it's from today. I didn't know that this was happening. I'll certainly look at the episode. The truth behind 9/11, those are things that probably Ryan had already laid out on my show, so I think I'll be familiar with this. I don't like these two guys, let me tell you. I don't like these two guys. They are into this dating game type of thing, but in a way that has kind of accepted the state of African female polygamy. And that's a problem. I would like... The thing is, if you're in the manosphere and in any sort of way, like even through just counsel and dating about dating, you have two positions. You can either submit to the game that females want you to play, and then you lose for sure. Even if you win within that game, you have lost the greater game of civilization building, of marriage, monogamy, and of reestablishing nobleness and honor and contract within the sexual dichotomy. So trying to win the game of having sex with a sexy woman in Florida, in Miami, on a single night, is a game that you can win within the game, and yet you have still lost. And I wish that these guys were more apt to inform their male audience that this is not the game you want to play. Just like Rollo Tomasi is getting exposed for giving terrible advice to men. Like he's saying that men, to preserve their value, they must not be in couples, and a list of things that he said that I was like, oh, holy shit, this is subversion here. And I believe there's a form of subversion in the idiocy of these two guys who are giving you counseling on the how do I get my dick in a woman, basically, which is not important at all. What's important is how do you get a woman and have babies with her. That is what I'd like to hear them about, and there's nothing that they provide on this front. Go Away says, JF, the YouTube version of the podcast has over 100,000 views, but they cut off YouTube halfway through and keep the Rumble part going when they begin discussing Israel. Rumble version has 300,000 views. More proof that Rumble fakes its views. That it's not clear what is happening with the Rumble views. They've been even threatening to sue Odyssey. Odyssey once suggested on Twitter that their views were faked, and they threatened to sue Odyssey, and Odyssey deleted their tweet because they didn't want to get into that trouble. Well, I'm not on the Odyssey. I'm on Odyssey, but I'm not Odyssey. And there's certainly a difference in the way they compute views. YouTube is very aggressive at chopping the views, at judging you as a bot. And perhaps Rumble is very much less aggressive. Perhaps they let any sort of HTTP request count as a view. I mean, we'd have to see. The thing is, I would have to start a whole channel on Rumble and measure my audience through real metrics. Real metrics is something like Super Chat, something that cannot be imitated by a bot. And then we would know, but I don't have the heart and the will to do this. I don't have the interest to answer that question. Covey Killer Clown says, JF, fresh and fit, never side on the side of a woman. They say it's okay for a high-value man to have several partners, but not woman. Well, see, this right there is exactly the Africanization of our dating culture. This is, you could hear this in an Arab country. You could hear this in North Africa. So that's a problem. Because there used to be people living on this land that were exploiting and colonizing this land with a much more sane family life. And if you are playing the game outside of the recuperation of this state of things, you're losing the game. Even if you're winning it, you're losing it in the meta-analysis of it. Because if you submit to this polygamous conception of the world, never forget this. When a man gets multiple women, and you say it's not okay for a woman to get multiple men, but that's what's going to happen. Because you have just created extreme demand from a bunch of incels who are left with no females of quality. So you have a society that converges back toward a polygamous lifestyle. They want to fuck anything they can get at because the higher quality females are all occupied by the alpha males. So that is what I mean by this abandonment to the female mode of civilization management, which is a fundamentally polygamous mode. When a patriarchy controls a territory, one of the first things that they do, and the most important thing that they do, is they set a set of rules for reproduction. And it takes different forms in different places of the earth, but it can mean marriage in Arab nation. It can mean, child marriage and grandparental selection by clan in India. Or it can mean Christian marriage in Europe and in countries like in North America before North America converged toward the African model. That is one of the most important contributions of the male patriarchy to the world. And if you are not into this contribution, if you're into that little game of, let me give you some tips so that you can get your dick a little more wet and a little more vagina, a little more times before you die. That is not smart. It's not fresh. It's not fit. It is throwing the sexual dynamic in North America, in basically a country that is European, is throwing it to the Royal Rumble of arbitrary female selection, female bottlenecking, and rather than the... It's like a multiplication of the bread, what you get in society when you impose a patriarchy that shares the females equally across the existing males. That it is one of the fundamental reasons why we could have technological developments, civilization as we know it in the United States, freedom, English law, all of this ultimately stems from a mentality that could only emerge in a society that has well sorted out the problem of sexual competition. Covey Killer Clown says, JF, so Europeans never had polygamy, Rome, etc. I get sick of a woman most of the time. Guess it's me. Had childhood trauma. Maybe that caused it. Well, there are two moments of falls of empires where Europe converged away from its most noble state. And you name it, it's the other moment. It's the fall of Rome. But don't mistake the fact that Rome has fell and that America is currently falling as something that's deeply European in nature, that's in our nature. Because in both of these moments, what we saw is massive demographic shifts in the in the center of the empire. So you had massive demographic shifts in the bringing in of slaves in Rome, and you had massive demographic shifts in the heart of America with illegal migration and all that, and immigration as a whole. Go Away says, JF taught me to care about reproduction, and Fresh and Fit taught me how they are complementary services. Yeah, I don't deny that you can get from these two guys tricks that you could apply to a monogamous mentality. If it helps you get the girl in Florida who wants to have a one-night stand, maybe it can help you to get the girl in South Dakota who wants to live her life with you. But the mentality is way too embedded in that culture of one-night stands and short dating and expecting that females will drop you. I understand facing the empirical reality that they will drop you. Young men should be informed about this, but I don't take the ideological submission and acceptance of it. We need to fight against this until it's over. And we need to move away from societies where the fresh and fit are good counselors. Archie says, here's an example of polygamy. Well, okay, but I won't show it on screen. Kovi Killer Clown says, JF, Adam Green's position, Christianity caused the fall of my people, Rome. J, Psyop, we pagans had families, thoughts. Bro, what the fuck is happening today that people are sending me incomprehensible sentences? Adam's Green position, Christianity caused the fall of my people, Rome. It is possible. It is possible that at the heart of the fall of Rome was this kind of emerging Christianity, this attempt at unity. When I think of the fall of Rome, and I know very little about, I know superficially about it. I know what I've read from Philip Fabry, certainly, which is very good, but I'm not a deep researcher on this subject. What I understand is that the big problem of Rome is centralization and totalitarianism and taxation, basically. So Rome was too powerful, too big, and too centralized. This is what leads to the fall of Rome. Now, Christianity certainly is a reflection of this centralization, and in late Rome, it is used, in fact, as a tool of centralization. Ultimately, Rome tried to impose the Christian religion on their whole empire because they felt they were losing grounds to various sects that were developing, and including a lot of Jews, like up to, they say, there's a point, I believe, that Philip Fabry says in the history of Rome, when they started, you know, pushing Christianity, there's a point at which there was a 10% or 13% Jewish minority living in different places of the empire. And it was kind of stemming everywhere, this adherence to Judaism. And eventually Rome says, we're going to need a religion that it's clear that it's the religion of everyone. And in a way, the Christian religion, designed and written as it is in the Bible, is very much that's a conclusion I've taken from Mel Gibson's movie about this, The Passion of the Christ. Basically, you can think of Christianity as a slap on the ass of Judaism, saying we beat you, we transcended you. See, oh, you're just a Jew. Well, we're the thing after this. You don't want the next thing? It's like Jesus, by integrating the Old Testament as the tradition of Judaism, and by suggesting Jesus, who was in many ways a counter idea to ancient Judaism, that is, it was much more for love and peace. It was much more it was offering a non-warrior alternative to basically the ancient Judaism. And Chuck Garrity says a troll religion. I had never heard that term, but it's kind of a fit term. Post-Jew, says Callum Oxford. Yeah, so you can definitely have these visions of Christianity as being the layer two adaptation of the Judaism blockchain. T.S. Apostolos says, JF Med is working on a new movie. All right, well, I'll have a look. So definitely then, if you have this vision of Christianity, then the fall of Rome, if you see it through the lens of the increased totalitarianism, certainly Christianity would have been one of the tools and one of the components of this totalitarianism. And Philip Fabry, in History of the Next Century, does describe the persecution of the Jews under this growing consensus in Rome about Jesus Christ and about Christianity. Stephen Robinson says, Christianity is the evolution of Judaism and the restoration of the 12 tribe nation of Yahweh. YHWH. Okay, that is a view I've heard, yes. Kovi Killer Clown says, JF, Jesus was created by Jews as a controlled opposition. Hope you can't get green on. I hope you can get green on. Yeah, Adam Green, I think he would be up for getting me on his show eventually, because I think he follows me on Twitter, but we never quite exchanged. But yeah, I respect his stuff and I'm willing to talk to him. Now, this whole position that Jesus was created by Jews as a controlled opposition, I've heard this view too. This whole idea that Christianity is a subversive entity that was thought of by Judaism to kind of fuck us in the ass. And listen, it's out there. There may have, you know, given what we know about how Israeli interests have penetrated American politics, it would actually be surprising if there was this whole power, religious power, rising in Rome, and that they weren't attempting to influence it, attempting to interact with it, attempting to change it. But it's a big conspiracy theory, and it's largely it's overblown in terms of the size of the conspiracy suggested versus the evidence available for it. I find it relatively unconvincing, the idea that Christianity has been thought of and its genesis is rooted in a Jewish hate for white people. It's a little bit out there. Dead Star says, Rome fell for the exact same reason America is falling. All hegemonic empires will expand and consume until they blow apart at the seams. Yes, I would agree with this analysis. Which is why a mentality of fleeing is not irrational. I know that a lot of people mock French people for not wanting to fight or not being in for the war in Iraq. And there's this whole view of French people that has developed that they are cowards. But I don't think that fleeing is cowardish. I think most of the time fleeing is what you have to do. It's the only thing you can do while staying alive. I think that fleeing is the solution in 99% of the problems. And then maybe sometimes you have to make a stand, sometimes you have to defend something, but most of the time fleeing is the solution. And if to those people who say, Jeff, you're not going to abandon Texas, you're not going to abandon Florida, yeah, I will. I will abandon fucking Quebec if I need to. I did when I had to. So to all these people who say, you won't abandon this, that, it's so horrible, JF, I say, imagine you were at the heart of northern Italy and there's the Vatican is there. And imagine you are at the height of the Roman Empire. And imagine I'm in northern Italy and I tell you, listen, it's time to flee. It's going to get bad. Let's flee toward Western Europe. Let's flee toward Northern Europe. And if your response to this is, Jeff, I can't give up Italy. It's the center of power. It's if we give it up to the enemy, then we have nothing. Well, you'd be much more happy fleeing through the Middle Ages and then toward the monarchies and toward the eventual capitalist countries of Western Europe and Northern Europe than if you had stayed in Northern Italy. You would have stayed to defend a principle. You would have gotten your entire empire would have fallen in front of your eyes, and you'd probably have been subjected to such demographic replacement and local competition that you wouldn't even have left descent. Fleeing is a totally rational thing to do against the fall of civilization, because anyways, the greatest civilizations will rise in those places of escape, just like America has risen in response to the eventual response to the fleeing from the fall of Rome. It took 800 years, so we have time. We have time to flee generation by generation and spot what are these emerging places that are free enough and that are places of destination for reasonable people. Go away, says Jeff. Where will you flee when the leftists take over Odyssey? Well, when the leftists take over Odyssey, I could stream on my own. Maybe then the connections will be so fast that there won't be any problem. I'll be able to stream straight from my desktop computer. Anne Hooser Bush, CEO, blames Bud Light boycott on social media misinformation. The CEO of the inclusive AB InBev blamed misinformation on social media for stoking a nationwide boycott of Bud Light following the brewer's move to promote the beer with TikTok trends influencer Dylan Mulvaney. People often talk about this topic in social media like noise. You have one fact and every person puts an opinion behind the fact. And then the opinions start to be replicated fast on each and every comment. By the time that 10 or 20 people put a comment out there, the reality is no longer what the fact is, but it's more about what the comments were. Well, I think that there's been no misconception and misinterpretations of the facts here. You have featured and put forward as your idol a trans person. And people took issue with it because they're just tired. They're just tired of having hundreds of brands doing this to them, spamming this kind of acceptance porn to kind of please the leftist. They got tired and they punished you with money. That's what happened, and it's a very reasonable response and factual response. It doesn't emerge from misinformation. People have properly understood that you were doing that leftist thing, and they responded to it. DK Shadow says, Jeff will stream straight from his Tesla with Starlink. I'm not kidding. I don't know, bro. I want to go easy on Elon because I love him and I hope that he succeeds in everything he does. I'm not super interested. I'm not super excited at Starlink. I think Starlink will always fundamentally be a bunch of trash in the space. A fucking bunch of useless piece of metals that are being sent to space. I don't get it. I'm not excited at it. You know what? Because the modern world has changed. It is not so much having the internet available everywhere. And anyways, there are ground-based towers for cell phones that can accomplish this. They can accomplish this arguably at lesser cost than sending this junk in the space, okay? And importantly, the space junk strategy for the internet is always going to suffer from a big problem, latency. I don't think latency will be satisfying. I'm a man of optics fiber. I believe in 5 milliseconds latency connecting you to the whole world. And Starlink, I think, will never be able to accomplish anything like this. Stephen Robinson says, Starlink is a defense contractor. I'm sure there will be specific applications for Starlink, for sure. I'm totally fine with this, but I don't think it will ever be a consumable that addresses a massive demand in the everyday person's life. I believe that the trend is actually to the contrary, that we will need less and less of internet in the air because we will live more and more into our bedrooms. And so I think that the vast direction of the demand is away from a Starlink product and toward find me a way to make a wire that has 10 optics cable in it rather than just one. Archie says, JF, the image in my previous hyper chat of a UK Mirror article was of a donkey. I'm not going to talk about infected donkeys having sexually transmitted disease. I don't know what the fuck this is about. I'm not interested. The show is not about disgusting stuff. So sorry, but fuck your super chats. I don't think there's anything interesting that can emerge from a donkey who suffers from sexually transmitted disease or whatever it is that he suffers from. Covey Killer Clown says, Jeff, it's your pod that you will me in. Bro, you got to correct the way you phrase your sentences. DK Shadow says, Starlink is great for people in rural areas and, of course, the developing world. Yeah, if you know, a cheap internet connection's out there, maybe it's going to be the best thing in Zimbabwe. But the best thing is Zimbabwe, I'm not super excited about it. I'm a man of the north. I live in developed civilizations. I have all of the funds needed to make it happen that a wire is manually brought to my home so that it's high performance. I have no issues of needing Starlink in my life. What else do we have before we close the show? Wall Street Journal reveals that TD anti-money laundering practices nuked the first Horizon deal. The reason behind the termination of TD's bank's acquisition of the First Horizon Bank last week has finally been revealed. TD could not obtain the necessary approval from U.S. banking regulators due to past concerns regarding its handling of suspicious customer transactions. Okay, I trust TD. I think that they're great. TD has been awesome. And so if the US regulator doesn't like them, well, that's your problem, US regulator. You don't deserve TD. Shrigmamel sends a super chat. He says, hey, Jeff, as a fellow libertarian, I think during wartime we would have to suspend rights in order for the hypothetical state to survive. What are your thoughts on this issue? Well, I don't think that is the case, especially not in the modern world. In the ancient world, you probably needed bodies to the point of having to recruit people. In the modern world, I think that most of military superiority stems from technological superiority. And there can be a market for this, and this market doesn't have to be in body counts. I don't think that you win wars with body counts anymore. It's my impression. Now, there could be a hypothetical scenario of technological degradation where, okay, suppose, Jeff, that you are in a situation where technology isn't that much available and or it's too equal between the two nations, and so what truly determines your victory is the war, the number of bodies. Then would you suspend rights? And James says something very important on the chat. He says there is no we in a libertarian society. Exactly. So it's like, you can suspend rights if you want, but by saying so, you are not a libertarian society anymore. A libertarian society that would truly stay libertarian through a military conflict, there would be various approaches. Some would flee, some would make deals with the invader, but it's also what happens in a non-libertarian society. Some flee, some desert, some make deals with the invader, some collaborate with the invader. So the reality is you never really get away from the fact that individuals are individuals and that they're going to flee to the forest if you try to force them into a war against their will. And it's kind of a delusion, this idea that because you state it legally that you are conscripted, that the libertarian mode of fleeing doesn't exist. It does exist. People flee conscriptions. They may do so at a lower rate in a society like ours, and they may do so at a higher rate in a libertarian society. But the mathematics of which side are you on? Are you going to benefit from one side or the other? Are you able to cooperate with one side or the other more? All of these math, they stay the same, whether you're in a libertarian society or not. What I will say to your question is, I wish that we were in a world where we can develop a market for military security, pay people for doing that job of risking their lives. And it's not a given that in our world, it's impossible to do it that way. It's not a given that you always need full conscription. You don't. And especially in a highly technological world, the military might is more and more convertible in market terms and in purchasable terms. Covey Killer Clown says, Jeff, it's your pod that you will be in with your goggle. You'll be seeing a whole new version of humanity. A whole new version of reality. TRP. Ah, that's a nice rhyme. That's what you were trying to do with your unclear sentences. See, sometimes there's a genius hiding behind those weirdly phrased super chats. Those are very good rhymes, bro. Valet says, will not super chat again due to Streamlabs Pro Effect thing that was on my CC. And now I'm forever suspect. Feels bad, but I know you need these to start a stream, so have them as a consolation. Well, I thank you for your support. I don't know what you... Streamlabs Pro Effect, that doesn't sound like something that would stem from Odyssey. So I think you may have installed something else, because Streamlabs is not related to Odyssey. You may have installed something else that's unrelated to the super chats. But anyways, I'm always happy to receive your support, and I thank you. Covey Killer Clown says, Jeff, it's your pod that you will... Okay, that's a repeat of the super chat. It's your pod that you will be in with your goggle. You'll be seeing a whole new version of humanity, a whole new version of reality. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.